Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here is our assignment from yesterday. Tell me what you pay attention to, and I will tell you who you are. In this practice, we often say that awareness doesn't need a someone to be aware. We saw this in a previous assignment around a quote from the Upanishad. No deed there is, no doer thereof. When attention is on awareness, we have a direct experience of being alive, of the myriad qualities and characteristics of the intelligence that animates. The question of who doesn't arise because it's already answered. Today, without judgment or self-hatred, look to see what your habitual focus of attention says about who you are. Record and listen.
All right, huh?
All right. Here we go. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi. This is Kim calling from Vashon Island.
Hello.
Good morning. I have been in the queue a few days and really kind of riled up about this jumble of a story that I have going, and it's captured my attention, and yet I'm also staying with the awareness and compassion, but it's a scary story because it involves Sherry, and it involves the monastery. And so, conditioning.
Those are two scary items right there, Kim.
It's very scary because, I've been listening to so many archives, and I hit upon one that kind of, I think, answered my question. The content is that I had made a plan and had even paid to come to the retreat this month. And life, I think, said no. And I had to not be able to come. And I was extremely disappointed. And the stories swirling around in my head are, well, Sherry said, come to the monastery, because that's the way to ramp up your practice. And you made a plan, and your commitment, you didn't keep your commitment. And Sherry's going to, be upset with you. She's going to be mad, and you're not going to be able to be in Sangha anymore, and on and on and on, right?
She's going to come to your house and hurt you.
That's, and I realized, I kept watching and just thinking, there's a lot of backstory here, which I won't go into because my mother was involved and she was going to come to the monastery, but then, it's on and on. And so I'm slowly unraveling it, and but I just needed
okay,
to.
Okay, let me, can I, time out.
Yeah.
Time out. Okay, good. Whew. All right. So I'm curious about just, one or two sentences on why you didn't come to the monastery.
Okay.
I'll tell you why, Kim. Because the phrasing, life said no.
Yes.
So that's the source of my curiosity.
Life said no. Okay, what happened? I mean, one or two sentences because it's kind of a long story. She said she was going to come with me. I was depending on her car to get down there. It became logistically very complicated. And when I finally said, you know what, life is not saying yes to this, there was a huge sense of relief. And I know that I will get to the monastery, but it's not going to be this month. And so...
Uh-huh.
It just was like.
So it's not that life said no. Here I am, little dog with a bone. But really important that we not let conditioned mind frame things that way. Because, with something like coming to the monastery, if we could get all of Sangha to stand up and say what conditioning went through to keep them from getting there, to keep them from a retreat. It's astounding. And most of it sounds really plausible. I mean, these are really good reasons. So I happen to be reading this book right now about these folks who live in Norway in the 14th century. And it is so fun to read some of the things they believed, right? Because they did not have the science we have. They did not have the sophistication, right? And so, I mean, just bizarre sorts of how did you ever get there, right? But they believe it. And because they believe it, they believe it. Now, does it ever happen that way? Probably not. Maybe it something happened to somebody once, the story spread, and then that, and then it's just believed and it's accepted as fact. Even though looking at it from the outside, we can see that's ridiculous. Okay? So conditioned mind does not tend to come up, well, sometimes, I mean, one woman was telling us on this very program how when she's getting ready to go across country to a retreat, the voices start in with, the plane is going to blow up and it'll be your fault. Okay, so sometimes it gets so far out there, but most of the time it's really plausible. These are really, really, these are good reasons. And we don't want to confuse those stories with life's guidance because, at least in my experience, life does not give guidance in the form of stories.
I see. But I heard you say, on another archive, you know, you can, it was a choice point for a person and they did the hat trick, the Sherry hat trick, where put the both choices in the hat, choose the choice, and then do. And you said, you know, you could have chosen yes, and then you could have gone, and then something, life would have said, well, the little girl was sick, and so you're not going to be able to have that overnight with your niece or, you know, whatever it was. And so that's life, the guidance, well, not the guidance, but the flow of life, just
that's right.
That thing isn't happening.
That's
we
right.
can put something on our calendar, you know, as
that's
Attorney
right.
says, and it doesn't always mean it's going to happen at the end of the day.
That's right. That's exactly
so what's
right.
the difference in between
fact,
what I
in
said?
Fact, most of the, in fact, most of the time, it doesn't, whatever
right.
it is. You know, that's why to-do lists are so frustrating for people, because we have this idea about these 487 things that we're going to get done today, and at the end of the day, two of them we got close to doing, and then the voices kick in. So the difference, Kim, the only part that I want to underline is not to confuse guidance from life with a story. So, so you know, you're well. I was getting ready to go to Durham, North Carolina, to give a talk, and I got stuck in Chicago Airport. I never got there. Okay.
Whoa.
Now, it doesn't mean I wasn't doing everything I could to get there, right? But
right.
I didn't get there. Yeah. So
right.
it's there was no there's no guidance in it. Okay, guidance from life and life unfolding are not the same thing, and that's my only point. Not to let conditioning turn that kind of rationalizing, figuring out conversation and conditioned mind as either guidance from life or life unfolding.
I see. So what ended up happening is because it's my mom's
and Kim,
birthday over that.
Kim, oh, Kim by the way. I'm not mad at you, and I'm not coming to your house, okay?
Okay.
And you
well,
do,
darn,
you can come
dinner.
To the monastery whenever you want, okay? Let's get
Thank
that
you.
Cleared up. All right. There.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. And so what life presented to me was, or I don't know if this is a story or life, but this is your mom's birthday, and you can be with her because that my plane ticket was to that destination. We were going to go from that destination to the monastery. And so I said, I mean, so now I'm a little tongue-tied, but I said yes to that.
Yeah. Well, and the
saying,
thing
is,
yes, is
that a story
you know,
or,
we,
I don't
we're,
know.
Well, here's my final best encouragement. Drop the whole thing.
Yes, thank you.
Just, just drop it. Because that is what happened. Sounds like it was a pretty big workshop. Not sure we could have topped it if you'd made it to the retreat.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so so that's good. It's a workshop. And now it's time to just drop it. Because conditioning just wants to keep us in that noodling. Because if you could figure this out, perhaps you could have full control of your life in the future. And that's not going to happen either. And so we just watch it all. We see where we get hung up, where we suffer, how conditioning does this to us. That's all we're going for. It's just awareness.
Okay. That's so fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you. Thank you.
It'll be a better day, huh?
Yes. Thank you. Feel happy.
Bye-bye. Take care, Kim.
Bye.
Although I might to go to Kim's house, huh? I think she lives in a very beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. It's just so true, Sherry. I was just writing a Musings article this morning about the very same topic that we are so conditioned to believe. We're so conditioned to identify with the egocentricity that makes it all our fault, or that we're not the right person because of a particular choice we made. And that whole thing arises from the fact that we made the choice. So if egocentricity believes it is the author of all life experience, then it's also available to take blame for everything that happens.
And it likes to spread that blame around, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. It's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, the
ego rarely
says, we actually have choice. We only have the choice to be here or not to be here.
Uh-huh.
That it's an interesting place to explore.
Yes, that idea of choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that the certain choices are bad choices and certain choices are not are good ones. And that focus actually does not assist us to see that we are not the author of our author of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I think you're taking us to is even of our choices. So ego, when we're identified with the ego, it does what it does. Says, oh, go over there and do that, and then it's a disaster. And it turns around and says, see what you did. You chose to do that. You made that decision. You chose to do, well, actually, no, I was completely unconscious. So thank you. If that's a real argument for being present, but it is not an argument for blame.
Yes, right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a torture.
Such a what?
Torture.
Torture. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
This
but
is
helpful.
What happened, but you should have
helpful.
You should have go ahead, sorry.
Well, just helpful to see. I mean, it is
awareness
practice. We are in a giant workshop here. So this happens and I get tortured over it. If I'm fortunate and I really am doing awareness practice, I'm going to want to explore that torture.
Exactly.
This is good.
Exactly.
This is good. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. This is Dana from Virginia.
Hello, Dana.
Hi, good morning. That conversation you two had is so much applies to what I saw this morning when it comes to where my focus of attention has been, at least this morning, and who I was for that. I didn't expect to get on. Sorry, taking a moment, taking a breath.
Breathing. We're breathing.
Breathing. Right. I had off today and tomorrow. Wasn't really sure what I was going to do. So the decision was, I slept in and just kind of play it by ear and see how I felt today. And then I got up. I kind of had a headache, and then I had to run to the store, and then I had to do this. And then when I sat down and I thought about today's assignment, I realized unconsciously it was a litany of everything that was wrong. either how I felt was wrong. I didn't have half and half in the refrigerator, and that was wrong. I had to go to the store, and then I bought something for breakfast, and what I ate was wrong. I didn't get up and exercise, and that was wrong. And I was like, holy crap. I had a sudden light bulb moment where no wonder this poor person has feelings of sadness and depression with that going on unconsciously. Like I had, like, wow, like such a huge, it was like a critical, it was critic after this was wrong, after this was wrong, and this was wrong. And when I had it, took a moment and breath, and I was like, wow. You know, no wonder sometimes I just like to go outside and just listen to the cicadas. Because that's where my focus is.
Or go back to bed.
Or go back to bed, right. Yeah,
right?
It was
a
very big, like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and, you know, and then it was, of course, well, if you had trained your attention more, your focus of attention wouldn't have been on those voices.
Oh, God. Oh, God, said the voices. Gee, and yet, Dana, that is, again, one of those great moments, isn't it? Because we can say, you're right. I am so inspired to practice now because I want to get rid of you forever. So, yes, I'm turning my attention right now. Goodbye.
Yes, yes, yes. And I wish I was as good as that. I'll keep practicing. And then, like I said, also what happened was that once I realized what was going on was a true moment of compassion for the human here, and then, and extending to, you know, everyone else also that goes through the same thing. So,
yes. Yeah. And the important part of that, it's all important because it's all great awareness practice, but the realization that this is happening unconsciously. Now, if somebody had come up to you in the store and said, are you unconscious this morning? Very likely the answer would be, no, I'm right here. I'm in the store. I'm buying half and half, getting something for breakfast. No, I'm conscious. But you weren't, were you?
Mm-mm. No, not until I came back and I thought about the assignment and, you know, how it, and then I was, went back through and I reviewed my morning, and then I was just like, bam, bam, whoa.
Yep. Yep. And that is essential for us to see that I don't know if we could say it's the ultimate bamboozle, but if it's not, it's right up there. I think I'm conscious and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And in that unconsciousness is that subliminal, this is wrong, that's wrong. You're wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah.
And as you noticed, it is not uplifting. And then when you feel depressed, it beats you up for being depressed, probably because it starts in on, well, you have everything. You are so lucky. You are so fortunate. And still, you're not happy.
Yes, right. It's just right. Never enough. And what just dropped in for me is just gratitude and thankfulness for this practice, because if I didn't have that to work on today, I would have been, you know, right down the road of wrong. So thank you.
Yeah, and two miserable days, right? Instead of I project now, you have great potential to enjoy your 2 days off, right? But without awareness practice, we don't. We're just on a downhill trajectory, picking up speed. So, you know, you're out there and somebody, you know, cuts you off in traffic or yells at you about whatever, or is just mean and surly or whatever happens with people. And we can go to a place of, oh, my gosh, I think I know where that person lives, and it's an awful place. So I would really like not to contribute to their unhappiness. You know,
yeah.
So I can smile and say thank you and wave and excuse me, whatever it is, if it mm-hmm. gives just a second of lightness to a very dark day.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. Enjoy those days, huh?
Okay. Thank you so much. Right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Dana. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dana. It is so wonderful to have a practice that assists us to see where the attention is and then to redirect it.
Yes. Yes, to redirect and to not allow the beatings for what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing.
Exactly. Yeah. It is the biggest bamboozle to get that we're not the ego. And to feel bad.
So.
And not to feel bad to have one.
Yes. Yeah. It's what makes a human incarnation the most extraordinary opportunity in life. Right? Because we're, as human beings, we truly are living between heaven and hell. And we can choose heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is an extraordinary choice. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. I get so engrossed in listening to everybody, I have to think, what was I always going to talk about? But, it's such a reiterative process, you know, like hearing it again and again and again. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. It's like waking up 10 times over again. But what I was looking at, I think it's actually been the last 2 days, there was a, the assignment was around, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. And at first I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, no, I'm pretty sometimes over-responsible. I don't really procrastinate. I get stuff done. I take care of things, all the practical things in the world. Well, that doesn't quite pertain to me. And then it dropped in. I thought, oh, yeah, but when it comes to resting, taking it easy, relaxing, stillness, yeah, not so much. It was like my I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's not a good idea is around not doing versus doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's an important insight, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I got doing nailed. I know that. But that other side is, it's scary to me and like bad. And, you know, I think there's tons of beliefs behind it, but I just noticed what resistance I have to that. And it's been a lifelong process. But, go ahead.
Well, it's an interesting it's an interesting process spiritually, and I was just laughing because I went into the monastery where I trained with a friend, and so I'm going to use this language because this is the language she used, and she said to me in great bitterness, she said of herself, I came into this monastery a nice person. And I've become a bitch. You came in as a bitch, and you have become a nice person. And she was really bitter about it, right? As I've gone on, I've realized that's the most difficult place, giving up being the right person. I do think it was easier for me, because I was so totally the wrong person. I was desperate to give up those ways of being. But now I can feel the other side of it, the side that you're talking about, right? So, now I know how to be the right person. Yeah. So we just flip sides.
Yeah. And I think, well, what could be scary about relaxing? What could be scary about taking it easy? What could be scary about reading Cosmopolitan or, you know, but I have strong injunctions like, well, no, wait a minute. So the next exercise, Simon, the next day was, watch where your attention goes and what does that tell you about you? And so I was like, okay, of course I can, in quote, do that because it's an assignment. But I watched when I woke up. My first question to myself was, what do I need to do today? What needs to be done? What am I responsible for? It was the same thing. I'm like, okay, I'm getting really tired of this. It's not good. How wrong that so for me
that you're only allowed to feel good if you're doing what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate says you have to do. Then you're allowed not I'm going to project for most of us, not really.
Okay.
It's not like you're going to be joyful or ecstatic, but you're at least you're meeting the standards. So you're not going to be beaten up, right? Because it's not going to hold. And so what you've realized, of course, is how completely it controls us.
Yeah, it's like being a spiritual Girl Scout. You know, I keep getting these badges, and that's great, but so what? You know, it's like,
right.
Oh, okay, now I got this doing thing done. And the other thing behind that being good is at the very bottom that I could at least see was if I keep doing and accomplishing and achieving and being responsible, I will be safe. Life will unfold how it's supposed to.
Because you're pleasing
and
God.
I know. Huh?
Yeah, something. And I know
that's
crazy.
The deep unconscious belief. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like no regrets. I did my part. If it was a wreck, it is a blame. It's somebody else's fault because I'm blameless. I did what I was supposed to do. And in this country, especially being productive and achieving.
Yeah.
It's tiring.
Yeah. Yes, it's exhausting.
It's
really
exhausting.
Is exhausting. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, and then the Enneagram came on top of it. And oh, by the way, I'm a 6 in the Enneagram. So, of course, I'm worried about being safe. So it was like, really? Is it this obvious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And so you, in terms of the email class, you really watching your oneness, right? Because
right,
you got to be perfect.
You've got to
right all those wrongs. You got to make sure you do your part. You know, you got to be blameless in this. So yeah.
So nothing bad. So life won't happen.
That's right. So you'll be in control.
Right. And by the way, it won't unfold either. Or it's going
that's
to unfold.
Right.
But yeah. So at any rate, I'm still paying attention and
resting.
Aware of it.
So you're going to have a little rest today.
Yes, I did plan in a nap, and I'm giving myself permission, and I'm trying to not make the first question when I wake up, what do I need to do more of, maybe how I want to feel, or I don't know what the other one will be. But
well, some recordings. I would suggest some recordings about exactly that. So that's not going to be my focus. The focus of my life is being present, being here, letting life guide me, seeing what unfolds, trusting life, you know, all of those kinds of things.
I'm already safe.
I'm as safe as a person can get.
Okay. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
Helpful.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. Thank
Good.
You. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you, Susan. Sherry, it's 9:28. Shall we try to get another caller in, or shall I read our next assignment?
I think you should, so that we can, because otherwise we're going to slowly, because we love it, we're going to slowly turn this into an hour program.
That's right. We're creeping in that direction.
We're creeping
in
that direction. We're going to stop being creeps.
All right. So our assignment for today. One of the nice things about problems is that a good many of them do not exist except in our imaginations. We can easily prove the truth of this statement to ourselves. If I'm brooding about something that is a problem, in other words, all my attention is on a conversation and conditioned mind, the issue feels real and I feel compelled to find a solution. Then something happens to divert the attention, and the moment my attention is engaged with something else, the problem ceases to exist for me. We have this experience over and over, and yet whenever the voices decide that there is a problem with you, with me, with the world, we don't stop to examine if that's truly the case. Today, notice how conditioned mind creates problems. Ask yourself, if I didn't experience this as a problem, would it be one? Record and listen.
So one of the things that struck me about that when you read it is, if I didn't see this as a problem, what else might it be?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. And,
all right. Thanks, Sherry. Go happy. Take care of yourself.
Go happy.
Everybody.
Yeah. Treasure yourself. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.